Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back, everybody, to a new episode of Podcast on the Brink. Took last week off for the holidays, but we are back again this week as Indiana prepares for Big Ten play to resume this Sunday in Penn State. As most of you listening to the show know, Indiana's game on Wednesday night against UNC Asheville canceled due to COVID-19 concerns within the UNC Asheville program. So Indiana's non-conference play is now done. And so I thought it would be a good time to kind of go over where Indiana is as a team right now and also just go player by player through the roster. And I have Tyler Tashman of Inside the Hall with me to help us do that. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing well, enjoying the time off around the holidays. How about you?
Doing pretty well. It's obviously been a quiet time for IU. No game now in over a week. Hopefully, the games moving forward will be played as scheduled with the Big Ten adjusting. I think its protocols gives us a better chance to have a somewhat normal ride here the rest of the way. But before I hit record with Tyler, I was just talking with him, looking at some of Indiana's numbers right now from an NCAA tournament perspective. They've played 12 games. They're right now overall 0-1 in quad 1, 0-1 in quad 2. 2-0 in quad 3, 8-0 in quad 4. But coming up, I think we can all agree that the schedule is going to provide plenty of opportunities for Indiana to get wins that will matter for an NCAA tournament resume. Tyler, I'm just curious from your perspective right now, Indiana as a team at 10-2, have they met your expectations for what you thought they would be coming into the season? Overall, for me, I can just say that I didn't think Indiana would win the game at Wisconsin or at Syracuse prior to the season. So they're about where I thought they would be. Now, the way they lost those two games, you could definitely say that they should be unbeaten right now. They at least have a legitimate chance to be unbeaten if they just made some plays in both of those games. But overall, I think Indiana's right about where I expected them to be entering the season. How about you?
Yeah, they've put themselves in a decent position right now. I think it's reasonably favorable heading into Big Ten play in that, like you were saying, they're going to have a lot of opportunities to get big-time wins throughout the conference season. But, you know, as it stands right now, they don't really have any great wins. They don't have any bad losses either, so you can kind of look at that either way. But, yeah, going back to the Syracuse and Wisconsin games, I think I would agree with you in that if you told someone before the season they're going to lose both of those games, I think people wouldn't be too upset. But when you go and see how they actually lost and how badly they played in two of those four halves and how well they played in two of those four halves, I think that's what makes it more frustrating looking back on those games. And that just kind of goes back to this seemed to be like a one. There's one good half, one bad half kind of every game. And it's something that it is promising in the fact that they've looked so good for one half. And you think, well, if they can sustain this for the entirety of the game, they're going to be really difficult to beat. But it also kind of brings some concern of that. Well, are they ever able to really sustain that? And if they're not, some of these games that they're squeaking out, you know, aren't going to work in the once you get into all these quad one games in the Big Ten.
Absolutely. So I wanted to just go through the roster player by player. We'll spend a couple of minutes, maybe more than a couple of minutes on some guys, maybe less on others, depending on kind of what there is to say about each guy. But I just wanted to kind of go through the roster and get your thoughts on all these guys that have been playing in Indiana's rotation. break down maybe some of the positives that you've seen so far and some of the negatives. And obviously at the top, we'll start with Trace Jackson Davis. To me, just looking at his numbers overall, putting up really good numbers. The thing I've been most impressed with so far, you look at his two-point field goal shooting percentage. Last year, he shot 51.7% on twos. This year, he's up over 62%. So to me, that is a pretty significant jump. Now, we'll see if that holds as the competition stiffens in Big Ten play, and he's going to go against, obviously, better defenders. But to me, that's a clear area where he's gotten better so far. Defensively, you look at his block percentage, 10.8% compared to last year, 4.8%. These are all stats that I'm citing from KenPom. So he's definitely been better in terms of finishing at the rim and blocking shots. Now, Tyler, I'm curious, you know, we've talked about Trace before. I think we can all agree that he's playing harder maybe than he did in the past. Not to say that he didn't play hard, but he just seems to have taken his intensity up to a higher level with more consistency. He is, however, playing a ton of minutes. So kind of a two-part question here. One, what maybe is the biggest improvement you have seen in Trace this season? And two, do you think it's sustainable for him to play at this level if he continues to play the number of minutes, or do you foresee a scenario where maybe he starts to get worn down as the season goes along?
Yeah, I mean, I think first, the biggest improvement I've seen is just that is the intangible qualities of playing hard. You know, he said, he's mentioned how since Mike Woodson has come along that he felt like his work ethic has gotten better since last year. And he said it wasn't like a knock to his previous work ethic, but Mike Woodson has just been pushing him to give more more effort, you know, just kind of all around him. I think we've seen that because he's not necessarily like naturally a really demonstrative person, but we've seen kind of on multiple occasions him running the floor. And there's some moments that stood out to me when they're playing like Jackson State or some lower tier opponents, and he's still beating guys down the floor. So I think that's one thing that's really stood out to me. As far as the minutes he's logging, I think this is where just Michael Durr is going to be so important for Indiana, because we've seen him try to work back from injuries, and we've seen some flashes where, you know, he's provided a boost, and others where he has trouble holding on to the ball, you know, not turning it over and finishing around the rim. But I think this is where Michael Durr's impact is just going to be huge, because that ability to provide 15 to 20 minutes off the bench, that's what Indiana lacked last season when Joey Brunk got hurt. And it, I believe it did kind of wear on Trace and Race, because they were asked to do so much throughout the Big Ten season. And I mean, if you look at, I don't know Trace's stats off the top of my head, the last six games, but that's where Indiana really fell apart. And if you can avoid that by getting Michael Durr more comfortable, getting more consistency out of Jordan Geronimo, which we've seen flashes of. And I think that it kind of goes just for the whole bench, is that we've seen times where Indiana's bench is just, you know, provides a huge lift, you know, is really good in terms of giving the stars a break. But there's also been times where they kind of just disappear. So I think, you know, it's kind of a theme so far for Indiana of just more consistency throughout. But I think you can make a case for the bench as well. And I will say this about Trace too, and there's been a lot made about his right hand and his jump shot coming into this season. And I think, you know, he's using the right hand with more frequency. I wouldn't say it's something where it's like you watch a game, you're like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, he's definitely more comfortable with the right hand. But, you know, the jump shot, I feel like it still isn't there. Like, I don't really see a huge difference between last season and this season. I think he's, you know, he's taken a couple and he's made a couple, he's missed some too, but, you know, he hasn't really had to do that, it doesn't seem like. But I've, you know, if you're looking at him in terms of his draft stock, he still hasn't, in terms of like being able to be a stretch four, I feel like he still hasn't quite proved to make that jump yet. So I'm interested to see, as you know, as more double teams come in Big Ten, as teams are throwing different looks at him, is he going to step out more often?
Our friends at Homefield produce the world's most comfortable premium licensed collegiate apparel out of their headquarters in Indianapolis. Run by IU grads, Homefield studies Indiana's history to come up with the most unique apparel designs available for Hoosier fans anywhere. Our current favorites at Podcast on the Brink are the 1987 National Champs t-shirt commemorating IU's last national championship and the vintage 1965 Indiana University Bison t-shirt. And it's not just Indiana apparel available at home field. They're constantly adding new schools to the over 120 currently available at homefieldapparel.com. Podcast on the Brink listeners can save 15% off of your first purchase by using code BRINK15 during checkout at homefieldapparel.com. Good points. One other thing I'll point out with Trace is, and it wasn't really a problem last season, but he's only had 3 fouls in one game this season. Never had 4 fouls, hasn't fouled out. You look at his numbers on KenPom, he's averaging 1.6 fouls per 40 minutes. So that bodes well for him being able to stay on the floor and play a lot of minutes. But again, my question, and Tyler made some good points there, I think it comes down to Michael Durr and what he's able to give Indiana the front court. Also Jordan Geronimo to an extent, because I think there's some times maybe where you would be able to get away with playing maybe Geronimo and Race Thompson together to give Race a bit of a break. Let's move down the list now, and it's really not that far down the list in terms of importance to Indiana's team. Race Thompson, the team's second leading scorer, I think from an intangible perspective, does as much as anybody on Indiana's roster. Brings a ton of leadership. Obviously, this is his 5th year in the program. He was actually the first recruit that Archie Miller landed at Indiana. If you remember back, he reclassified, came to Indiana a year early, sat out that first year as a redshirt year, battled a ton of injuries early in his career, but now he's become really a durable player. You remember last season when he got that injury to his face, he had to wear a mask, didn't miss any time with that. I think a lot of people were concerned that he was going to be out. He battled through it. He's always available. And I think he makes a ton of just of the little plays that help you win games. Race, to me, he's not going to end up on any of the postseason lists for all Big Ten or anything like that. But you look at what he means to this Indiana team. He's right now rebounding the ball pretty well on both ends. Free throw shooting still a bit of a concern. But Tyler, overall, how impressed have you been with the performance of Race Thompson this season? And what do you feel like down the stretch, the rest of the season, are the most important things maybe to him to get a little bit better at in order for Indiana to maybe reach its ceiling as a team?
When you talk about the intangibles, I mean, that's something that he's brought up to this point in his career just with his toughness. And like you said, battling back from injuries. And I think that's something that he obviously still has right now, being able to make those scrappy plays, you know, getting those 50-50 balls and the leadership as well. But I think this year he's proved like to be much more than that. Like, I mean, he's averaging 10, more than almost 11 points a game, seven, almost 8 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, he's nearly averaging a double-double. So I think when you look at like all the intangibles he brings, it's not just that dimension anymore. It's that he has become a consistent, a guy that you can rely on a consistent basis to produce. And I think we look at last season and there was like moments where he had those 5. I think back to the Providence game where he had 20 plus points and it seemed like, you know, him and Trace could be really lethal. And I think that to a certain extent, they were really good, but I think both of them together and just kind of the cohesiveness that they've burned, and you know, they're friends off the court as well, which I think has helped. But just what they've brought to Indiana this, you know, I think, you know, is invaluable, the way that they've been able to work together and really produce. As far as things that I'd like to see him get better, I think turnovers, you know, we saw in the Syracuse game with Trace and Race combined for something like 15 turnovers. I don't remember the exact number, but it was something like that. Free throw shooting as well, and that goes for the 3-point shooting, because a lot has been made with the outside shot for Race Thompson headed into this season, and he hasn't really shot a great percentage. He's had the confidence to take those shots, but it's going to be increasingly easier to pack it inside if teams aren't going to respect him taking the deep shot. So I think he needs to keep taking it on a selective basis when he's open, if they're going to give it to him. But, you know, I think that he's going to have to start making those with a little bit more frequency just to get to keep the defense honest, because then you get into kind of a issue of guys being able to pack it in inside and some driving lanes closing up. So, you know, overall, I've been extremely, you know, impressed with what he's been able to do. But I think there's just a couple other things that you can just continue to build off of.
Yeah, Mike Woodson said recently that he wants Race to keep taking three-pointers, despite the fact that he's taken 15 in 12 games and made two, which I agree. If he's only taken one or so a game, it's fine. You know, I honestly wouldn't mind. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis potentially has a better perimeter stroke than Race Thompson. I'd like to see Trayce maybe take one a little bit more frequently. He's only taken one this season, missed it. You know, let's stick with kind of the same area position on the floor before we move to the wings in the backcourt and just talk a little bit about Jordan Geronimo and Michael Durr. I mean, Jordan Geronimo is interesting because he has moments within games where he dominates and plays really well for a 5 to 10 minute stretch. And then he has other moments where he's basically invisible on the court. And it was interesting a couple of weeks ago. I didn't mean to put him on the spot, but we had a media availability and I just kind of asked him kind of what the difference was for him between when he plays well and when he doesn't play well. And he really didn't answer the question. I think it was something that maybe he wanted to think about a little bit more, but I think when I look at him, I honestly think it's just the case of a guy needing more opportunity to get out there and play and get comfortable, because you look at him and maybe out of anybody on Indiana's roster, he's played the least amount of basketball. I mean, he wasn't a guy that played a ton from a young age. You know, he developed a little bit later in his career. He wasn't much of a recruit until later in his high school career. So to me, you know, it's great, I think, for Indiana to have him in the program and as a guy that can develop long term, but he really needs reps and he needs an opportunity to play. And he hasn't always gotten that this season with the most consistency. So when he does play, he does that talent does shine through. But other times, he just looks like a guy that's lost and needs direction. Tyler, with Geronimo, do you see him kind of in the same light in terms of his long-term potential being high, but ultimately, right now, maybe we're not going to see that this season because of the limitations and the number of minutes. And I just don't see a scenario where Mike Woodson's going to be willing to throw him out there for 15 to 20 minutes and let him make mistakes when he's trying to win games and win and ultimately get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think that just going off with everything you said in terms of him not having a lot of experience playing basketball and, you know, not being as developed maybe where other as much as other guys at this point in his career. But I think this is where working with a guy like Mike Woodson, who has been in the NBA, who has, you know, has a proven track record of developing younger guys, where I think that's really going to help him. Because back to, you know, in the Bahamas, when I was talking to Jordan Geronimo about why he wanted to stay, because he was in the transfer portal, is that, you know, he just said it stood out to him, Mike Woodson had been in the NBA, and that's where he potentially, or what his goal is to get, is Jordan Geronimo wants to get to the NBA. And obviously he has all the tools, physical traits, you know, athletic ability, all of those things to get there. It's just a matter of him putting together more, you know, the intangible sides of it, learning the game more, you know, learning how to use his body, you know, and I think another thing too is that Mike Woodson has given him a lot of confidence, and we've kind of seen that as a theme this entire season, that, you know, he wants him to try to make plays. He doesn't want, you know, he's not going to discourage him to take shots or, you know, go after rebounds. That's what he wants him to do. And I was just thinking back to I think it was after the Merrimack game where Geronimo had his first double-double, and he said, "God gave me this body to get rebounds," which I thought was pretty funny. But the one thing that he does bring, he just brings energy. He's a guy that is, you know, undoubtedly he's on the floor, he's going to give it his all. And sometimes that's going to end up with crazy dunks, and sometimes it's going to end up with him throwing the ball away or not being able to handle the ball. So I think, you know, right now that's kind of what you're looking at. So it's a little bit higher risk, higher reward when you're talking with him. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy, I think, that if he sticks at Indiana the next couple of years, that he's going to be a guy that just really flourishes as he continues to get more reps.
Yeah, he just, more than anything else, like I said, he needs minutes. And, you know, Indiana did give him a chance to play a little bit more this season, at least against some non-conference opponents that he didn't get last year. So that was good for him to get that experience. But moving forward, we'll see kind of what his role is. I can't envision him playing more than 10 to 15 minutes a game moving forward, especially in Big Ten. And there may be some games where he doesn't play much at all, just depending on matchups. But we'll see how that works out. Another guy that's kind of in the same boat minutes-wise, I think, moving forward is Michael Durr, just because obviously with Trace and Race in front of him, those guys are going to play 30 to 35 a night. So there's not going to be a lot left over for Michael Durr. But Michael Durr is, you know, the one thing that's really impressed me about him is he seems like he can shoot. He's got a pretty good touch. He's made his free throws. He stepped out a little bit in the mid-range, made some shots. Not all that great of an athlete at the rim in terms of finishing. Doesn't really get up off the floor all that well. And I don't think is really much of a shot blocker so far, but I think he's a guy that can obviously play the role of backup. He admitted when we talked to him a couple weeks ago, we had availability with him over Zoom, and he basically was talking about how it's been an adjustment for him coming off the bench. And you know, he's somebody that played a ton of minutes in South Florida and wanted to come to an opportunity at Indiana where he'd have a chance to win more games and potentially play in the NCAA tournament and play on a bigger stage. And he's getting that opportunity. I think he's going to be someone that's in the rotation the rest of the way. But I think the most important thing for him is just to come in, provide a little bit of scoring, play as hard as he can in the minutes that he does get. But other than that, I just don't know that you can expect much in terms of shot blocking and rebounding from Michael Durr moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we kind of talked about before about his importance is just being able to give Trace and Race a break, because that's something that Indiana didn't have last season, and that, you know, it seemed to really kind of hurt them as the season went on, and the Big Ten play kind of, you know, gets tougher and tougher. You know, there's been moments where I think he's looked pretty good. Like you said, he's, you know, he has decent touch around the rim. I think, you know, he's been working back from an injury where he didn't even play in the Bahamas. He missed the first game or two, and he said that he's really trying to get his conditioning and legs under him. So I'm interested to see, you know, if he's still trying to work back from that, how long it might take him to, because, you know, I feel like we haven't seen fully what he can bring yet, just given the fact that, you know, he's been working back from injuries and such. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he needs to do anything crazy. You know, I think he needs to come in and just be a steady presence. You know, if you can count on him to bring 15 to 20 minutes a game, grab a couple rebounds, stick back a couple of shots, that's all you need. You don't need necessarily anybody to come in and do anything flashy. So, yeah, if he can provide that moving forward, I think that he'll become kind of an invaluable piece, just in terms of, you know, keeping Indiana's other big guys, give them a break.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The most talked-about player on this roster, I think, and you did a terrific feature story on him. You've talked to him. You talked to his parents. I think you've gotten to know him just a little bit, maybe obviously better than I do, because I, you know, I've never talked to him one-on-one. I've just watched him play. And Xavier Johnson is, to me, the X factor. No pun intended, because his, obviously his nickname is X. No pun intended, but he is the X factor for Indiana moving forward this season. I think as Xavier Johnson goes, Indiana is going to go in terms of its potential this year. With Xavier Johnson, I think there's a lot of good things he brings to the table. He's got 51 assists, which is by far the most on the team. I think in terms of being able to go past people on the dribble and have a chance to finish at the rim, he's obviously the cream of the crop on this roster. He's made threes this year, which I think has been a bit of a pleasant surprise. You know, his percentage was really high up until that Notre Dame game where he really struggled from the perimeter, but he's made his threes. I think his two-point field goal percentage is maybe a little bit lower than what you'd like to see. But overall, defensively, I think he's been good. He's obviously had some moments where I think he lets his emotions get the best of him, and that's something I think he's learning every day to try to improve on that. But, you know, to me, he's established himself as the clear-cut point guard in this team. I don't think there's any discussion that he's better than Rob Phinisee and Christian Lander. But I think the challenge for Mike Woodson and the Indiana coaching staff and really his teammates moving forward is to try to bottle up the best of Xavier Johnson and get that version of him as much as possible in these Big Ten games, because we've seen instances where he's played really well and he carried Indiana in that first half. He played great at Wisconsin. The second half, not so great. And he stood up and took responsibility for not playing so well. But, you know, Xavier Johnson, to me, like I said, is the X factor for this Indiana team. I think he does a lot of good things. And I think ultimately, if this team's going to make the tournament, they're going to need him to play very well here in Big Ten play in order to reach that goal. Because to me, he's their best chance to have a top level point guard on this roster.
Yeah, there's no doubt just in terms of his physical abilities, what he can do with the basketball. You know, there's no question with that. And, you know, the big point that I know people have been bringing up is, you know, can he keep his cool? Can he control his emotions? And that's what, I mean, he knows that. Like, that's, you know, I talked with him about it more than once. Like, going back to the Bahamas, like, I asked him if there was something you could tell the, like, younger freshman version of yourself, what would you say? And he said, well, to not let like refs or a call or something like that, you know, get the most of me. Cause he said that's one thing that had taken him out of games in the past and one thing that he wanted to eliminate. So it's not like, you know, I think the first step of getting better is at least realizing what you need to get better in. And that's something that he's been working a lot with the coaching staff with. Dane Fife talks to him about, if you talk to your teammates, then you're going to be less likely to be out of your own head. So just constantly encouraging teammates. He watches a film with Kenya Hunter and I assume other members of the coaching staff, but they'll break down. He told me, like, after the Wisconsin game, we saw like that kind of bubble over a little in the second half. They'll stop and they'll point out, well, you know, here, look at the body language here on the defensive side, look at the body language on the offensive side. So like, this is something that is being obviously like a conscious effort is being made to try to improve it. And, you know, like, it's something that he knows. So, you know, I just think that it's just an interesting dynamic too, in the end, that he just wants to win so badly. And it just goes back to, you know, his parents, you know, his dad played basketball in at a Division III college, played a little bit professionally, but just the way that he was raised and that his grandfather, so his father's dad, used to drop, they would drive like 20 miles to the school where he worked at. And then they forced his dad to walk like 20 miles back home every day, just to instill that like discipline and that drive in him, to not be average. And so, you know, I think that's kind of what I went through in my story a little bit, is that just Xavier Johnson just doesn't want to be average. He wants to win at all costs, and that sometimes gets the best of him. So it's a matter of just using that energy in the right way. But I will add as well, in that I do think that Xavier Johnson will be the key to Indiana's success, because if you look at Indiana's other pieces like Miller, Cobb, Parker Stewart, I assume we'll get to them later, but they both can't really create shots for themselves right now. So that's why Xavier Johnson is so important, because he can do that for other people. He unlocks the potential in everybody else by getting them the ball and getting them shots. And I think you could say the same for a fair amount of other guys that he just most consistently can make plays for other people and make plays for himself. And not many other guys on the roster can do that right now.
Yeah. And as imperfect as Johnson has been, you look at the other two point guards who I want to talk about now, there's even bigger deficiencies in both of those guys that have really led to them being the second option and the third option. Let's start with what we can talk about both right now. Rob Phinisee has played a little bit better, I think, the last couple games, but obviously missed a little bit of time with injury. The thing I look at with Rob is, you know, offensively, he's just still struggling so much to bring anything positive because look at his shooting right now. He's 7 of 25 from the field on twos, which is 28%, which is obviously well below average of what a player should be. 7 of 23 on threes, that's 30.4%. Neither one of those numbers are very good. Now, what he brings defensively obviously is a positive, but to have a guy out there at times that you don't really have to pay attention to offensively, I think that's why so many people want to see him be more aggressive, because they get flashbacks to those seasons where Indiana was playing games with only three guys on the court that were a threat offensively. And that is often the case with Rob being out there. He doesn't have the confidence or the aggressiveness to look for a shot offensively. So to me, that's the biggest issue with him. With Christian Lander, this is like the question that we get asked the most. People are wondering why is this five-star point guard not playing? Well, when he comes into a game, typically, if you watch, the opposing offensive player usually takes the ball right at him. And most of the time, Lander has a breakdown defensively. And you see immediately why they don't trust him to play regularly. And, you know, his shot selection, I think, this year has been better. If you remember back to last season when Archie Miller would put him in, he would almost go out of his way to try to force shots up to try to make something happen. He's not doing that as much this year. But the reality is with Christian Lander is right now should be his first season in college basketball because of the reclassification. And he also just doesn't defend at the level close to what Rob Phinisee or Xavier Johnson brings. And Mike Woodson's not going to sacrifice that to play a guy that doesn't defend, and he doesn't care that Christian Lander is, you know, a five-star point guard or whatever. He cares about winning games this season. I kind of get a bit of a chuckle. People are wondering like, what's he have against Lander? Why isn't he playing? I was like, do you really think Mike Woodson would try to sabotage the season? If he thought Christian Lander could help him win games, he would put him in the game. And right now he is not confident in that. I'm not saying that there won't be opportunities for Lander to get some minutes as conference play goes along, or he's not talented enough to do something, but he's just not better than Rob Phinisee and Xavier Johnson at this point. That I think that's what it comes down to. So Tyler, just your overall thoughts on Rob and Christian at this point, and do you agree with kind of the hierarchy at this point in terms of who's getting the minutes?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the hierarchy right now. And as far as Rob Phinisee, I feel like, you know, it's a lot has been made about his confidence the last two seasons and his aggressiveness. And that's one thing that Mike Woodson he's urged him to shoot. He's urged him to try to make plays on the offensive end and be aggressive. And I feel like, you know, the last two games we've seen Rob be a little bit more aggressive. You know, he had some big shots late against Notre Dame. He had 10 points against Merrimack, and you know, it was against Merrimack, but I feel like you kind of need to have those types of games where you can continue to build off of. I think that if he can continue building and have the confidence to take the shots, I think that's the biggest thing for him. And he has been working back from injury too. And it just seems like every season after, you know, his freshman year, there's been something, there's been an injury, there's been his confidence going down. So, you know, I'm interested to see that potentially this could be his last season. He could come back for one more, I believe, but to see kind of how this winding career, you know, finishes out, whether it's this year or next year. But I think, you know, he's almost kind of like the anti Xavier Johnson in that sometimes you would want Rob to be more aggressive in doing things. Sometimes you want Xavier Johnson's to pull back a little bit. So I think they both almost need to have, they need to harness each other's aggression levels a little bit to a certain extent. And as far as Christian Lander, I mean, I'll go back to the Bahamas with this and that. I don't remember the exact number, but I'm pretty sure he only played maybe 7 to 10 minutes between the two games in the Bahamas. And that surprised me because if there's a time to give guy minutes, it's going to be in an exhibition game again, you know, that doesn't really matter over the summer. So that was kind of the first inkling to me that the indication to me that some, you know, they didn't trust Christian Lander quite yet, maybe on the defensive end or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the defensive breakdowns, I think it's as much as the defensive breakdowns as it is that he'll foul too. You know, he'll get beat and then he doesn't want to make it worse, so he'll foul. Cause it seems like a lot of times when he gets in the game, like you said, you know, it's a quick foul. It's a quick two fouls. And when you're going to get up against what are going to be some really good guards in the Big Ten, that just can't happen. And on the flip side, we've seen some good stretches where he'll make really good plays in transition, really good passes. You know, I just, you know, it seems like the coaching staff hasn't seen enough of that on a consistent basis to feel like they can put him out there and potentially be a liability on the defensive end.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything there on Lander. I think the next group of players is potentially the most intriguing in terms of minutes going forward, because you have Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp, who have started the whole season with the exception of Stewart, who didn't start Indiana's last game, didn't play in the first half, and then played obviously in the second half. I assume he's going to be a starter moving forward. To me, that seemed like some type of punishment for one game where he didn't play the first half and was obviously able to play in the second half. But, you know, with Kopp and Stewart, I think they bring a lot in terms of shooting ability. Kopp is 39.5% on threes, Stewart 49.1% on threes. So those guys figure to continue, I think, to get a lot of the minutes. And then behind them, I think, is where you get where it gets interesting, because Tamar Bates has played a lot so far and had some bright moments, but Anthony Leal has recently been pushing him for minutes, and looming is the return of Trey Galloway from a wrist injury. And he's a guy that brings a little bit something different from, you know, an athleticism standpoint and aggressiveness going to the basket. I think of all five of those players, he's to me the best in terms of getting into the lane and trying to score at the rim. So it's a good problem for Mike Woodson to have moving forward, I think, with these five guys, because realistically, I don't think he's going to play more than four of them regularly. So somebody's going to be the odd man out in certain games. Where do you kind of see this group? Do you agree with me that Stewart and Kopp are going to continue to get the majority of the minutes at the wing position? And then how do you see maybe the other three guys falling in behind? Because it's interesting, because Leal's, you know, wasn't playing early in the season, but I think he's made the case that he at least deserves a look, even when Galloway comes back, and maybe in some instances he could be challenging Tamar Bates for minutes.
Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp were both brought to Indiana pretty much to shoot. And that's something that they have delivered on so far. Parker Stewart is scorching hot at 49%. Miller Kopp also at 39%, which I think most people would take on any day. So, you know, I think to me, one of the biggest concerns coming into the season was you're trying to take a team that can't shoot and make it into an offense that won't work if you can't shoot. And so, you know, I think that that's been a promising sign. on the offensive end is that Indiana has shot the ball really well from deep. I think they're at like 37% as a team right now, and they were never above 32% from deep under Archie Miller. So that's a significant development. The one thing I just see with Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp right now is just their skill set is just fairly one-dimensional on the offensive end. You can't hand the ball to them and let them get their own shot. I think Miller Kopp has shown that more than Parker Stewart, to where he can try to get a pull-up jumper. He can try to make a move. I just don't think he's done it on a consistent basis. But going back to this is why Xavier Johnson is so important, is because guys like Kopp and Parker Stewart are relying on someone to make a play for them and to draw the defense in so they can get it on a kick out or a cut or whatever it is. And that's where I think Trey Galloway can make an impact as well, as being a guy that is just another creator, someone that can get into the lane with his creativity, make plays for others. You know, I'm interested to see how quickly he is able to come back and get comfortable, because he's been out since the St. John's game. And as far as Tamar Bates, I think we've seen these flashes of him being able to be a high volume scorer. We saw it in the first half against St. John's, where you see that five-star ability really show out. And there's other times where I feel like he's forced it some, where he has looked like a freshman. And lastly, Anthony Leal, I think he's one guy that we maybe didn't foresee coming into the season that he was going to be getting these type of minutes. But he seems like a guy that's really been trusted by Mike Woodson. You know, he got the start last game, and he's been trusted to close out some games as well. Mike Woodson's put him in there in late game situations, just kind of within the flow of the game. And he's a guy that, you know, you can see his progression from this season to last season, it seems like. And I mean, the whole group of wings, you know, I think it's an intriguing group. I think it's one that if they can continue to put up shooting numbers, will obviously help Indiana. But, you know, like I said, for the entire team, it's just kind of like this theme of consistency is, can they get it rolling on a more consistent basis? Can Parker Stewart and Miller Kopp do a little bit more offensively? Or the one thing with Parker Stewart is I haven't been as impressed with him defensively. I feel like he has been a bit of a liability in terms of fouling and just getting the, trying to just continue to get those games more well-rounded.
Well, I think we've made a full journey now through the Indiana roster, Tyler. The only guy I think we didn't talk about was Logan Duncan, and I don't think necessarily he's going to have much of a role moving forward. As far as Indiana goes, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Wednesday's game against UNC Asheville canceled, not going to be made up. And in many ways, you know, people were asking, is Indiana going to look for a replacement game at this point? I don't, you know, obviously that's not going to happen. But in terms of the decision making behind that to not get another game, I think a lot of it comes down to the fact, you know, what upside is there at this point when you got Big Ten play starting this weekend. Indiana's going to have plenty of opportunities to win games against teams that are going to help them, that could help them make the tournament. So they will head into Big Ten play again on Sunday. They'll be at Penn State, 4 p.m. Eastern time tip. We will not be there, obviously, but we will be watching from home, writing about the game, obviously, and we will be back again, obviously, next week with another episode of Podcast on the Brink. We should be here every week now through the end of the season. Just took last week off for the holiday break, so we'll talk to you again next week on another episode of Podcast on the Brink.